You know, one of the things the church is really quite good at is using light. And she's actually also pretty good at using salt, too. It's not as well known, but, you know, it used to be that salt was put into holy water. If I were to come and bless your home, which I'm happy to do, the church actually still uses blessed salt to purify and sanctify, and we are to be the seasoning of the gospel out in the world. So that's the spiritual meaning of salt. But we can't go into everything today. I'm going to just stick to light. Church is really good at using light. Maybe the most famous thing, the most well-known thing, our use of light is when at the Easter Vigil every year, the solemn Easter Vigil, which begins in darkness, the church lights that Easter fire outside and then lights that candle that you see back by the baptismal font. It's not burning now, but and then as the light enters the church, symbolizing Jesus rising from the dead, emerging from the tomb, and then everybody in the church has that individual candle, and it's just this awe-inspiring thing to see that light slowly spreading. And it's that same baptismal candle that is lit at each and every one of our baptisms, and it'll be lit on the day of our funeral. So that literally from the beginning of our life to the end of our life, that the church reminds us that we are under that light. We are following that light. That light is there to guide us. Just this past week, a few days ago, in fact, we celebrated the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord, and it was wonderful at the school mass. Traditionally on the Feast of Presentation, or Candlemas, as it's called, people enter the church with lighted candles, and we had some of the students doing that along with some of our parishioners. It was really beautiful to behold that. You can think of other things like in pretty much any church, even maybe people who are distant from the faith or you know, don't really know what else to do, one of the things that often gets done is that lighting of a candle, you know, like a votive candle. There's just something instinctual in human beings that just appeals to us to light a candle and remember someone, maybe a loved one who's died. Any number of so places of pilgrimage, you think of people coming in candlelight processions and vigils at Lourdes or Fatima or any of these places. So we really are good at using light. Now, as it happens, there was that one year where we were lighting the fire out there and then the security lights came on. So it didn't exactly have the effect that it was supposed to have. Like, we're lighting this fire in the darkness and then artificial light came in, but you know, that's neither here nor there. So we know how to use light when we're in this place. But what about today when we are taught by the scriptures, we're taught by the Lord that we're actually to be light for the world? That we're actually not just supposed to be good at, it's good that we have all these ways that we use light and we understand that and we celebrate that and we use it in the way we pray when we're here, but we're actually, how do we take that and then bring it out into the world? And that's a much more difficult thing. That's the thing that's not always very obvious to us, how to actually do that. But that's the unmistakable message today. From the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, that our deeds, our works of mercy, doing justice for the oppressed, feeding the hungry, these are the things that will bring light to the world. And the light will shine in front of us as we go out and do those things. And then the Lord saying to us that we have to let our light shine before others so that they can know the glory of God, they can glorify God themselves, to bring light out into the darkness. It's a very hard thing. It's one of the things that I've mentioned this any number of times, but I continue to just be really struck by how many people these days are coming either in the sacrament of reconciliation, in the confessional, or at other times and just saying, Father, like, I'm just so discouraged. There's just so much darkness out there. Just the way the world is and the way, you know, politics are going and the, our society and the crime and the oppression or the, you know, how our kids are, you know, all these things that are making the world seem very dark. And I think we can actually take comfort in something today, and I actually just realized it in between this last Mass and this one, where it's the same idea, but a little bit of an extra detail that I remembered, that St. Paul, who we heard in the second reading, writing to the Corinthians, the Christians in Corinth. You know, just last spring we had this blessing. Several parishioners went with me on a pilgrimage to Greece in the footsteps of St. Paul. And something that I remembered is that the geography of Greece, Corinth, the ancient city of Corinth, is just to the west of Athens, and it's located on sort of that wonderful geographic term, an isthmus, like a narrow strip of land between two bodies of water. And so Corinth was a place where there was a port where traders and sailors could get off and then trek across that strip of land and then be a little closer to their destination instead of having to sail all the way around that peninsula of Greece on their way. So that was what the local economy of the city of Corinth was driven by, and as you can imagine, it wasn't all above board. Like, there was a lot of cheating, a lot of grift. It was a dangerous place. It was a place where there was all kinds of dark things happening. You can imagine in a place where there's a port and sailors are coming in. You can imagine the kind of local economy that might rise up in a place like that. A lot of darkness. So it's no wonder that Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, or when he was going into Corinth, he's saying, "I came with much fear and trembling." He knew more than anyone, and he did more than anyone, to spread the light of the gospel in the world. Literally, you know, to the ends of the earth. There's no greater apostle than Paul. But even Paul was afraid. He was trembling when he went into Corinth, when he went into this dark place to try to bring this light. So if even St. Paul himself felt that, it is no wonder that you and I might feel that too. And we might just kind of like to stay here. It's good that we pray and gather in the church. We might just like to kind of stay here and then not take that light and bring it out into the darkness of the world. It's not easy. But we are called to do it. And St. Paul helps us understand how we can do it. It's actually when we are completely honest with ourselves and with the Lord that, yes, I am weak. I might not have the ability to speak powerful words or words of deep wisdom, but it's exactly in that I can reflect in my nothingness, in my humility, that God's light can flow through me, that God's light can be reflected in me, that I can be filled with God's light here and then take that out into the world, take that out into my day-to-day living. I can take that into my family life. I can take that into my professional life. And again, it's not always easy. But it might be those sort of things. If I'm filled with the light that I receive here, you know, that person at work who keeps taking the Lord's name in vain, can I say politely and lovingly, "Hey, knock it off, please"? Or that maybe that person that I've reached a certain level of friendship with, you know, because maybe our children are in the same activities or we're sort of in the same social sphere, and I can tell that there's something deeper to that person. Maybe there's a moment there somewhere where I can say, "Hey, have you ever been to adoration? Would you ever like to come to Mass with me?" You know, these are the kind of things. When we feel like we're not doing enough for the poor, and again, returning to that idea that our light should shine before us in the good deeds we do for the poor, do we remember that if I'm not taking the light I receive here in church and in my life and my following of Christ, and I'm simply going out into the world to just do good things, that I'm really no different than any other social worker. I'm no different than any other, you know, humanitarian. But when we take the light that we receive here and we try to bring it into the world through those, when we begin here and take it out there, it looks different. It's lifted up, it's elevated by the gospel, by the presence of Jesus Christ, that light burning within us. So it's a message of courage. It's a message of courage that when we admit to ourselves that, yes, I am nothing, but I can be that vessel, I can be that one to reflect God's light out into the world. And maybe an encouragement, too, to look within ourselves, what in me is resisting that? What might be the obstacle to that? Where do I need the light of Christ to shine more brightly in me so that I can maybe see the things that I want to keep hidden, and that his light can purify and burn those things away in his mercy. You know, just to close, just a thought or an image to sort of capture this. And you know, I like to look to the world of sports. In 1988, the Chicago Cubs were forced, essentially by Major League Baseball, to finally install lights at Wrigley Field. You might know this, that the Cubs, of all the teams in baseball, resisted for the longest time actually installing lights in their stadium. And there's a whole host of reasons for that. And finally, baseball said to them, look, if you don't install lights, if you make the playoffs, we're going to have to host the games elsewhere. You won't get a home game in the playoffs because we can't put it on during prime time at night. Now, fortunately for the Cubs, this didn't really make much of a difference because they hardly ever made the playoffs anyway. But it's a great image. What is keeping us from turning on those lights? Is it we're just comfortable with the way things are? We just want to stay where we're at? Or is the Lord calling you and calling me today to let light shine in us in a new way and open up new possibilities so that His name, His love can be known, that He may be glorified? True God from true God, light from light.